shores of El Pacifico, Bill Hendry.
Well, hello there, and welcome to Saturday here at the El Pacifico, Saturday everywhere else in this grand place called the U.S. of A., and a good Saturday morning to you. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We're here every night until 1 a.m. on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, going places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. Our very best wishes and continued good health to Larry Grover and Dr. Jim Sadler, but we can't take it anymore. Listening to you, Dr. Sadler, getting upset about the fact that you wear a diaper and it isn't enough.
What's that mean, anyway?
I don't even want to get into it, man, okay? It's a sexual thing. I don't know what it is with some guys. And I guess in a lot of ways I consider myself, if you're honest with yourself and you hear about people having these kinds of sexual, what is it?
Kind of like the personality.
Yeah, you know, they got a sexual personality where they want to wear a diaper. It's hard not to consider yourself superior to people like that, which I know is probably wrong, but I can't remember the name of that damn senator from Louisiana to save my ass. And you know what? I don't really care, but that was the guy that got the whole discussion of diapers started. Anyway, our number is 877-876-PHIL, and this is our news and information hour. Bud Dickman with me, along with Robert Leonard. And don't forget to join us at philhendryshow.com. We have a live streaming video of our show each and every night. And if you miss it, you can check out our five-day video archive. You can also listen to a live stream or a stream of our show the next day if you missed it. But if you want to be a Backstage Pass member, and that is, become a member of our subscription family, you get downloads. You get downloads of every show that we've done since 1999. I mean, seriously, three-hour shows. So when we talk about an archive of shows, we're not talking about two-minute clips of our best-of bits. We're talking about... Oh, and by the way...
You got to talk about those downloads.
Exactly. I want to let everybody know that beginning next week, we are going to make available for purchase individual downloads, individual cuts from our best-of CDs, so that if you don't want to buy the whole CD, or if you want to sort of mix and match different cuts... You can do that, too. So we will have available on the site the ability for you to download, to purchase, for instance, All You Can Eat Negro, if you want, or you can purchase Burning Bugs, or you can purchase Cat Sex, or some of these bits that we've done, and you can purchase them individually.
How much are going to be?
I don't want to say.
You want to make it more than iTunes.
Hey, man, first of all, our stuff ain't available on iTunes except through our site. Secondly, maybe I do. All right. No, it's going to be cheap. Don't worry about it. So it is Saturday morning, and we were just talking. I don't know. I don't want to talk about that stuff. We were talking about Listerine. How did we get on? Oh, yeah, that's for some reason we were talking about antiseptics and making instruments clean, and we got on the topic of that. I think we were talking about the Civil War or something, but I mentioned to the guys Lister. Now, I know what you said, bud.
Yeah, Listerine.
Yeah, well, Listerine is named after a Dr. Lister, Joseph Lister, who was, in fact, a prominent physician, scientist, researcher, who, yes, as his name would indicate, was a pioneer in the practice of disinfecting and sterilizing equipment and bedding and bandages. In other words, until men like Lister came along and people like Florence Nightingale, for instance, we had hospitals that were filthy, and we had bandages that were filthy, and the practices of surgeons using the same tools, the same instruments, on different patients without cleaning them, we wouldn't even think to do something like that these days. But there was a time we didn't know anything about bacteria. We were very, very, you know, sort of just fuzzy about all that stuff. And along came this man, Dr. Lister, and there were others. Well, okay, great. Thank you, Dr. Lister. Now, how do we get to Listerine?
He probably invented that too, huh?
Yeah.
No, he didn't have anything to do with Listerine. His family had nothing to do with Listerine. They just woke up one day, and some jackass in America decided he was going to make something called Listerine. So that's how that happened.
You don't get no money or nothing, huh?
They don't get a dime. I don't know if there's any listers left. I don't even know how it happened, because it's not his product, and he didn't invent it, and he didn't develop it, and his family had nothing to do with it. Just some cat said, hey, you know, let's make some Listerine, because this guy Lister, you know, he sterilized instruments. So that's what happened. Now, there had to have been some kind of a, I don't know, you know.
But probably somebody must have sued or something, man. You figured it'd be a lawsuit.
That's what I'm thinking. And maybe the lawsuit was this. Well, it's too late now. They've established, and in point of fact, they probably said something like, it's too late now, and besides, Listerine has established a good reputation for the name Lister. It's not a bad one. It's a product that's well thought of. Well, he's still using the name. Well, you know, he's been using it for a long time, and it would be unfair, probably some jive-ass ruling like that. It would be unfair to take the name away from the guy now. And maybe they settled for some money. Maybe there wasn't even a lawsuit. I don't know.
Yeah, came out with Dickman juice, you know.
What are you talking about Dickman juice, man? To come out with something like that, you probably have to have a prophylactic to use it. For all the things that...
Will you shut up with that, okay?
What are you talking about?
What do you mean Dickman juice?
About a mouthwash?
Now, why'd they come up with a mouthwash called Dickman juice?
Because if my breath smelled good...
Which it doesn't.
Yeah.
Dickman juice. So, in other words, your point is you'd sue.
Yeah, I'd sue, and I'd try to get billions of dollars for it.
Yeah, well, good thing, man. They're never going to have nothing called Dickman juice. They're never going to have anything all that for mouthwash. Unless you want to have mouthwash to make your mouth smell like a graveyard, then yeah.
Yeah.
You know, bud, you got a way of coming up with some... You really fantasize about some whack stuff. What are you looking at, anyway?
This is the most bitchinest movie. They alive.
They alive? You mean they live, or whatever the hell that thing is?
Yeah, with Rowdy Piper.
I don't know anything about that flick, Rowdy Roddy Piper. Is that the one where everybody looks like they got a skull face?
Yeah.
All right, so... Surging Gingrich bolsters... look at this. Here's Gingrich and here's Mitt Romney. They have skull faces.
Really?
No, I'm kidding. Surging Gingrich bolsters campaign. Newt Gingrich moved quickly Friday to match his campaign apparatus with rocketing poll numbers and presidential bid buoyed by new rules governing the GOP primary system that may give him enough time to prepare for prolonged state-by-state... Blah, 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 blah. I got to tell you something. I don't see how the Republicans can win this presidential election, but that's coming from a guy that predicted the last one so poorly. I just don't see how they can do it. I don't see how these guys are even going to begin to impress the American people with anything that they know how to do, because the fact is, whether the Democrats are exaggerating or not, whether they are saying technically what really happened is true or what they're saying isn't, about how the Republicans balled everything up and the Democrats inherited this big mess, whether that's true, whether it isn't true, whether it's whether the case is that it is decades long in the making, it doesn't matter, okay? The perception is that the Republicans are as stumble-bummy as the Democrats. There's no getting around that. And you can say... If you want to, you can say, well, this isn't about Republicans, but we want our Tea Party guy. It doesn't make any difference. The voters think of them as one and the same. Believe me when I tell you. Okay?
Yo, what do you mean, by Tea Party?
Yeah, voters don't see any difference between Tea Party and Republicans. It's the same thing, any more than anybody sees any difference between progressive or whatever the hell you want to call it and Democrats. It's the same thing, and they see them all as... What we need, and you know, we're going to wind up with a president from a party that's as colorful and as exciting as, I don't know, you know, as what we have now. You know, President Obama, he's okay, but he's a president, and he's got a very hostile Congress to deal with, and he's got quite frankly, the political opposite of him is very, very hostile. There isn't a move that guy can make that people don't think is some kind of a commie thing. I mean, the stupidity has been record-breaking. So what makes anybody think that any other guy in there is going to get anything less is just beyond me. I don't know. The Republican's going to stick a guy in there and he's going to be treated better? Are you crazy? Are you out of your minds? You don't think that what awaits either it's Romney or Gingrich is the same thing that Obama's getting? What do you think? All of a sudden, everybody's going to have a Satori? They're going to have some epiphany? Oh, this guy's great. You think that's going to happen? Well, where we're at right now is no matter how good the idea is, there's going to be a significant number of people that are going to try to make crap out of it. Even if it's the greatest idea that's ever come down the pike, even if it's the most fantastic idea that anybody ever had for turning this country around, there's the political opposites of the Newt Gingriches of the world and the political opposites of the Barack Obamas of the world are going to do their very best to wreck it. That's just how it is these days. It's like an extension of the internet, you know. It's just we have trolls on the internet. Well, we have trolls out there in political life.
What do you mean by that?
I mean, there's just people that for kicks, for laughs, because their lives are empty, because they got nothing else to do, are going to do what they can to wreck a guy's campaign. And I don't know why it was difficult. I saw what happened to Bush. And when the Democrats came into power, at least in the White House, I said it on the air. I said, you think Obama's going to get treated any different? Do you think that... Are you crazy? Do you honestly believe? And I know there was all that feel-good stuff, man, and everybody was getting blissed out over Barack Obama. I didn't buy that for a second. Not for one second did I think, oh, man, the whole country is just, we're just high on President Obama. He didn't even buy it. That was the thing everybody missed. He wasn't even buying it. So here comes this guy, and he's treated just as bad as Bush was. He's talked about like he's a dirty, rotten, no good Hitler, and he's a traitor, and he's a commie, and he's a this, and he's a that. This is where we're at these days in American politics. So what makes anybody think that Gingrich or Romney or anybody else is going to get treated differently once they become president of the United States? The game today, folks, is not about making the country better. The game today is seeing how much crap you can pile on somebody.
You ought to be like a news talk, like a host and everything, like Sean Hannity.
Yeah, I think you'd, well, but what would you be?
What are you guys talking about?
The way you talk about the politics and everything.
Yeah.
Get out of here, will you?
No.
Get out, it's like Sean Hannity.
Yeah, except I don't know, are you a conservative or?
I don't know and I don't care. All right, we're going to be right back on a world-famous Phil Henry Show. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. Get this Gingrich and Romney stuff out of here, man, before I gag up on Gingrich. Violent windstorms. Did you hear about this stuff in Pasadena and Arcadia? And this is my hometown out there in the San Gabriel Valley in Southern California, folks. We had wind gusts of over 100 miles an hour. It tore Arcadia to shreds just about. We'll be back to talk about it. The world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. Phil Henry Show.
All right, so, and welcome back here, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. And so, you heard about these winds. They had them in Colorado. They had them in some other western state, Utah, Nevada, Wyoming. It was a system that brought these high wind warnings and advisories throughout many of these western states, Arizona, New Mexico. Blustery weather is expected to eventually hit Oklahoma, Missouri, and Indiana. The violent winds have eased, but strong gusts still blew through the region on Thursday night, at times reaching 60 miles an hour. Now, I will tell you that where I live now here at the El Pacifico, we're about 30 miles, 40 miles north of Los Angeles. We didn't get any winds here. Now, in the wintertime here at the beach or at the Pacifico and the oceanary areas, I just made up a word there.
Yeah, that's where the sea lions live, in the oceanary.
Exactly. We get a lot of wind. We get cold winter wind. We get a lot of wind off the ocean. That's, you know, sort of be expected. But what happened here the other night was a real freakazoid, baby. Real weird.
What is it, man?
All right, so I'm looking this up, and a JPL scientist by the name of Bill Patzert has some answers. JPL is the Jet Propulsion Laboratory, which is over here in Pasadena. And you probably have heard of JPL. They help track many of our satellites and, you know, whatever the hell, moon rockets and all this jazz. So the gentleman's name is Bill Patzert. He was asked these questions by the Altadena Patch, which is a little website in Altadena, which is also where Bradley Military Academy is, where R.C. Collins goes to school.
Yeah, that's the place where that little punk goes.
Exactly. All right. Can you start by giving us an explanation for this unusual wind system that is scientifically accurate, interesting, and easy to understand, is the question. He said, well, the doctor said November and December is really the prime season for Santa Anas. This is this warm wind condition that we get in California, which are these really powerful high winds that come through the high desert and mountain passes. The history of Southern California is written in these great events. They are mild, they are medium, and then they are super duper. And we had a super duper one. We had a high pressure system over Northern California and a low pressure system in Arizona. And squeezing between those two systems, really cold air invaded Southern California. But not all of Southern, all Southern California did not get hit. It really focused on the San Gabriel Valley, which is Pasadena and Arcadia and all those towns out to the northeast of Los Angeles. Now, we've read that a lot of the reason the Pasadena-Altadena foothills got hit was because the winds came from the north rather than northeast. Yes, that's correct, he said. It was very cool, and rather than northeast, it was straight out of the north, and for some reason it really focused in the foothills, which made it unusual. The usual suspects, like the Santa Clarita River Valley and the Cajon Pass, they got bypassed. For some reason, our number came up here in the San Gabriel Valley, Sierra Madre, Temple City, Pasadena, and the gusts were between 80 and 90 miles an hour, and as I mentioned, there's concrete traffic lights we have in Southern California. Those things got snapped. Concrete poles that the traffic lights are on were snapped. So there you go, bud. It's just a high-pressure system, a low-pressure system, cold air, and the winds were coming from the north as opposed to the northeast, so they hit different parts of the pass.
I don't understand any of it.
Neither do I, but that's what he said. What do you want me to do? Okay. That's what he said. There's a lot of people without power, and this is not unusual for, I'm sure our friends down south and back east are probably laughing, and I don't blame them, because they deal with ice storms, they deal with hurricanes, we're sitting here wow, we really had some bad winds in the trees and everything.
Yeah, no kidding, man. They got a problem back there, but that one ice storm I saw, man, ripped out houses, man. Whole houses ripped out. No, that's a tornado. That don't no ice storm gonna do that.
Well, whatever. There's weather systems that the rest of the country has to deal with that are brutal. I'm embarrassed every time I got to talk about weather out here. Oh, we had rain, and guess what? What? It flooded. Well,
Well, that's bad.
Is it really? It's bad, huh? Try living on the Mississippi River, man, when the flood puts whole houses underwater,
Like I done with that New Orleans.
That was a hurricane, man. That was a whole other thing. So, yeah, we get weird-ass weather out here. We swear to God, man, the world is ending. Oh, yeah, we had high wind. What the hell's going on? It must be the end of the world. No, it ain't the end of the world, man. It's wind, And these winds that we had, they were gusts. They were not tornadoes, they weren't hurricanes. It was just wind gusts of pretty powerful wind gusts, but nonetheless, it was nothing that I don't know, man. It's just nothing that is even remotely comparable to the stuff that these other folks have got to deal with. So, here we go again. But nonetheless, man, it did turn a lot of places into garbage out there, man. I'm looking at the houses; they got trees that have just went right down on top of some guy's liquor store. The dude was saying, "Yeah, I was in here, ringing up a customer, and the next thing I know, I have no store left."
You're kidding?
No, I'm not kidding. He's got like three or four customers, and suddenly they heard a noise, and a gigantic oak tree is about to fall. Everybody runs out of there, and next thing you know, his entire store is garbage. Just smack that thing, man. Just turned it into nothing. That's wild. All right, other news is a jobless rate dipped to its lowest level in more than 2 years. There's nothing to read there. I'm telling you, bud, there's nothing to read there.
Why not?
So the jobless rate's down. Great. I'm not going to read it. I'm not going to get into that garbage. Facebook to hire thousands. They're opening a New York store. And for the good old days of rude cell phone gabbers, somebody's talking about that. The sound of people blathering on cell phones is part of the soundtrack of daily life, and most of us have learned when to be quiet. No talking in quiet cars on trains, for example. But the etiquette of talking to a phone, more precisely to a virtual assistant like Apple's Siri in the new iPhone 4S, is not yet evolved, and eavesdroppers are becoming annoyed. All right, we'll be back to talk about that and more. World famous Phil Hendry Show. You know, if you listen to Phil Hendry Show, you know one thing. We hate talk radio on this show. We do. I mean, we seriously do. We cannot stand it, and that's why what we do essentially is a, oh, I don't know. What would you call it, bud? Like a satire.
Yeah.
A satire. That's good. One of the reasons why we hate talk radio is because it is a redundancy. It is a it's a vomit machine. It's a diarrhea machine. It's just a regurgitation of meaningless things. It's a bunch of guys trying to get you jacked up and excited over nothing. Nothing. You know, I mean, I'll tell you right now, this will be the truest thing that you will hear all year. The 99% of the garbage that you hear about Obama and Gingrich and politics, it's completely meaningless. It doesn't mean anything. It has no relevance. It doesn't mean anything to the future of the country. Now, you don't have to believe me, but I'm telling you the truth. Now, here's something else that has absolutely no meaning. This has no meaning. It has meaning to some scared little rabbits on Wall Street, people that, as I said, our play in the stock market is like, you know, is like watching the crowd at a baseball game. It's not watching the game. You're watching the crowd at the baseball game. And among some of the most insignificant statistics that you will ever hear is the unemployment rate. Now, I'm not saying that it going down, it went down, and that's good news for President Obama. And I don't doubt that it's whatever it's rooted in, and I know that there's a bunch of people going to jump all over it, for instance, for political reasons. Well, you know, that just means 300,000 people stop work, you know, looking for work. I've heard all of the political spin that I ever want to hear about the unemployment number. The fact is, the unemployment number is garbage. It doesn't mean anything. What do you think it means? Are you going to stop? When you see the unemployment rate at 8.6%, what does that mean?
Means there are a lot of people out of work.
So? What's that got to do with you?
Well, I mean, if you know that 8.6%, I don't know. You know.
What do you mean you don't know? I mean, we're all supposed to get up and we're supposed to get our undies in a bunch over this stuff. What difference does it make? I feel bad for people that are out of work. That much I know. But that number, 8.6%, going up, down, or sideways, doesn't mean a thing. It doesn't mean, and I'm not saying just, it doesn't mean anything to you and me. It shouldn't mean anything to anybody other than jokers that are trying to get elected president. That's it. And guys that are trying to keep the job of president. That's all. Clowns that need numbers to justify their existence on this planet, which, as far as I know, are politicians. Now, if we had real if we really had good leaders, they would throw these numbers out. It doesn't make any difference. You go ahead and I'll go out and I'll talk to people who are out of work, and we will find a way to put people back to work who are out of work. But saying that 8.6, 9%, this, that, saying that means or proves something, it doesn't mean anything, doesn't prove anything. We're finding that out every single day from the very people that want us to think it means something. Stupid asses that talk to us about the unemployment rate is going up. When it goes down, they've got their political spin. That means that 300,000 people are no longer looking for work. So that number really doesn't mean anything. It doesn't represent. See, in other words, it's not a meaningful number. We should not look at it or pay any attention to it, but we will. That doesn't mean anything to the average worker. Any guy that gives up looking for work I got no use for. I don't care who you are or what you are. You give up looking for work, who the hell wants you around? Who wants you around? What do you mean they gave up looking for work? What are they doing, sitting on their ass watching Oprah? What are they doing? Are they gonna? And you know, people. Don't tell me, because I've been out of work. I mean, I love how people think, "Oh, you're just a gas bag on the talk station there, Phil." What do you know about? What do I know about it? I've been working since I was 13 years old. What do you mean? What do I know about it? Since I was 11, excuse me, I had a paper route. At my very first job, other than mowing lawns, a paper route. And then I was a dishwasher. And then I was a construction worker. I was a cement finisher and a rod buster. And I was a laborer. And I did every odd job there was to do. And then I got into radio. And I've been in and out of work my whole career. I've taken unemployment insurance. The last, knock wood, thank God, the last time I had to do that was over 20 years ago. I never stopped looking for work, ever. Who the hell gives up looking for work? I don't like being out of work. It's an unnatural thing for me. It should be unnatural for anybody. I don't care what the 8.6% says. It doesn't make any difference to me. And this is one of many disservices that talk radio and this gas bag machine that we have called talk radio, this is one of the things that it does that just drives me out of my mind. We got guys up and down the dial wasting hours at a time talking about numbers like that, like it means something. Some cat's telling me 300,000 people gave up looking for work. That guy that's telling me that, by the way, is a conservative who supposedly values work. Well, then what have you got to say about these 300,000 that gave up looking for work? What are you blaming Obama for that? Mr. Individual Initiative? We need a whole lot less of this stuff, I'll tell you that, man. These numbers just drive me out of my mind, you know.
The other one, too, they're talking about, like the national growth and stuff.
Guys that pay attention to those numbers, all those numbers crunchers, economists who are asked over and over again, well, what does it mean? And what historically does it mean? And what Keynesian this and something else? And these guys will give us their idea, like many scientists, as to what should happen, and it doesn't happen because there's so many other variables out there. They take those numbers and they say, well, that means that this and so and this and that and something else. I had heard of one guy predict one thing right. All of a sudden now, get a load of this. All of a sudden, the economy is improving and we're, the growth and everything, we're back on track. Last month, we were in the pits of hell. Last month! Not even 4 weeks ago. Oh, man, who knows when this is going to end? This could go on forever. This is the worst thing we've ever seen. This is the biggest, now all of a sudden, well, we're on our way back. Now, I know that what they say is true, that that certain industries are gone forever, and this happens in the history of societies. Farming, let's just take an example. The rural life, as we knew it in the 19th and 18th century, that came to an end. It's over. Thomas Jefferson, everybody loves to quote Thomas Jefferson. He was a rural guy. He believed that America should be anti-European. He believed that Americans should be farmers. We should be craftsmen and farmers. Screw all of that big industry stuff. Screw all of that textile mill jazz. That's the British. That's the French. No, we don't need that. In America, we're going to be farmers. He was really into that yeoman kinsman bullcrap, Jefferson. He would have been real disappointed if he lived a little bit longer, because we weren't into that at all, man. We are a country that's all about the future, and we're all about, invention, and we're all about looking and seeing how we can do things better. Machines always were a part of our future. Farming, as Jefferson saw it, was going to be the actual, this was going to be the defining industry, if you will, in America. No, it wasn't. Not by a long shot. Jefferson wrote one hell of a good independence, Declaration of Independence. As far as everything else goes, he wasn't much. So here comes all this invention. Now, what has been a standard way of living for thousands of years, thousands all of a sudden in the 19th century, it went away, man. Not completely, but to the point now where we have something called the urban life, living in the city, and the industry that created. All right, well, guess what? Welcome to another chapter in the evolution of man. There are other industries that are going away. Now, either we're going to get used to it and we're going to get smart, or we're not. And I don't give a damn if it says 8.6% this or something else. You know, we have to recognize there's some reality. Number one, we're stupid. We're not graduating enough people in the right categories. You know, arts and sciences.
Yeah, they're talking about what are they saying?
Instead, there's too many Chinese doing it.
Too many Chinese doing what? Are you talking about science?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, okay, too many Chinese. The fact is there's not enough native-born Americans. Everybody wants to be a freaking movie star, you know?
Yeah, everybody want to be on X Factor.
Yeah, how better we get people to stop doing that?
Here's a great idea. Why don't you stop watching it, bud?
I don't want to. I think it's bitching.
Good Lord, dude. So, so there's some stuff we got to do, you know, but the first thing we got to do is got to quit crying about all this unemployment stuff. Okay. I wish we had an iron swine to do or something, man, because God, am I bored. I can't wait for this show to end. I mean, I can't wait for it to end.
You just want it to end, man, because it's Saturday.
Yeah, but then I tonight we're doing the KFI show at 7 o'clock here in L.A. All right, we'll be right back. I'm just kidding. I can wait for it to end, but I'd rather not. Anyway, 877-876-PHIL is our number. And, of course, we're online at philhendryshow.com. We will be right back with our final segment with Bud, with me, with Robert, and the News and Information Hour.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
All right, welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Somebody said, you know, we were talking about The View, and how is that news? How is it that when they report on what they said on The View, and there isn't anybody that reports on what is said on The View as news that can come on my radio show and justify that? Not a one.
Oh, a lot of people watch it.
A lot of people watch the NFL today, man. Every single day, are you reporting on... Now, seriously, are you reporting on... No, I'm not just talking about sports now. Because if it was just about sports, then I would say that The View is just about chick talk. But it ain't about chick talk, because it gets reported like it's news. The NFL today is The View for men. That's what that is. If you watch the NFL on Fox or you watch it on CBS, I call it the NFL today. I call it just the NFL, whatever the hell, CBS or Fox or even SportsCenter. That's The View for men. You want to know, that's why that show that they came up with Dick Clark, what the hell was that called anyway?
Called, like, the gay hour.
Yeah.
What was the name of the show, bud?
I don't know.
The Gay Hour. It was called the,
The Other Half.
The Other Half? Was that what that was?
Yeah.
Jesus. Anyway, that was a bunch of guys sitting around talking crap. And they were trying to do a guy version of The View. All it was a bunch of dudes trying to metrosexual stuff. I mean, it was the stupidest show I ever saw in my life because it had nothing to do. It was, if you wanted to do The View, well, then don't do it just with guys. I don't know what they were doing. The fact is, The View for men is any sports show on Sunday. Now, what are they talking about? I have... some heartbreaking news for you. The NFL on Sunday is viewed with as much disdain and it is looked down upon by as many people as we look at The View. In other words, it seems like a bunch of nonsense, doesn't mean anything, bunch of jackasses talking about nothing. And quite frankly, that's what it is. It just so happens I like the nothing they're talking about, and you do too. It's called football. But you boil it all down, it doesn't mean anything. Football, what is that? It's a game. It's an entertainment product. It's one hell of a popular entertainment product. But nonetheless, it's an entertainment product, and that's all it ever will be. And it doesn't have any real value. like I've often said, you might as well be juggling. You know, a juggler, a clown walking on stilts, has the same value to society as a football player. There's no difference. It's one form of entertainment versus another. Some people try to make it, you know, I love how people say, boy, you know, I'm not about money. I'm about quality. Oh, is that right? You're not about money? You know what we do? We always make it about the money because that's what we give, that's what we think gives validation to something. Well, the NFL, look at all the money it makes. Well, that's, boy, we really go to that one, don't we? For a bunch of people that don't really value money and we think there's too much talk about money and we think that we need to have some more values than just money, we talk a hell of a lot about money. We ain't got enough. We're paying too much.
Yeah, but money's important and everything.
It's important, so don't be telling me that you ain't about it. So the NFL makes a lot of money. That's how they imagine themselves to be a more valuable and a more dignified and somehow even a more vital and important product than a clown walking around on stilts or on a unicycle.
Man, I don't see that, man. You tell me like a Ringling Brothers clown?
Yeah, like the one time we seen the clown come out of a car.
The one time we seen the clown? You talk about the clowns that come out of the car?
Yeah, they got about 100 of them.
Yeah, all those clowns that come spilling out of a car, same value as the NFL football.
No way, man. If NFL football, you could get killed.
Oh, really? You telling me that a guy on a high wire can't get killed? Some guy fooling around with lions? One of those guys, you know.
What, like a lion tamer?
Yeah, don't they have those?
Not I used to, man. I don't have them anymore.
Well, you know what I mean. So so that's the NFL, and that's guy talk. Now, The View, but do you think I consider that to be news? Football's news, to a point. But what those jackballs are talking about ain't never going to make the news. It's important to me. It's important to my friends. And it's important to whatever. But The View, these women run their big fat mouths. My God, every day it's in the news. Boy, did you hear what Elizabeth Hasselbeck said? And Barbara Walters, boy, she said something. And I swear to God, she kept her teeth in this time. And another thing, and they got another fat chick who's, you know. Now, they always find the fattest chick to be the head of the thing. What's that about? You talk about sexism. You talk about pigeonholing a woman, or not, as the case may be.
What do you mean?
But I know what you mean. I always have, like, the fattest, ugliest one is the one that runs the show.
Exactly. And I shouldn't say that, but it was Rosie, and then it became Whoopi, and, you know, who knows, man? Precious?
Precious. Think of it, Precious, to be on a View.
Anyway, so that's not news. That's not news. And as a man said, I don't know what man, but he was a smart man. He said, news is now a product. It's not, you know, either news is news or it isn't. I mean, what's the news? I don't know. I mean, news is, you know, it's news. There was a time when news was a very defined thing, shipping, and I'm talking about just, you know, if we go back to a time before there was this nonsensical reporting that started in New York with the New York World and different papers like that that started to report on crime, murder, suicides, incest. This was the daily, this became the daily appetite. This filled the daily appetite of New Yorkers starting in the mid-19th century when the New York World started to publish. Because all of a sudden, what is that? This is what people want to hear about. Before that, it was shipping, news from Washington, international diplomatic. It was basically, a lot of it came from the ships that parked at New York Harbor. What do you know? What's happening in Europe? And they would run down to the harbor, and they'd talk to the guys, and they'd run to the newspaper office, they'd print that stuff up. That was news. And then along came the World and said, geez, you know, we're going to make some, we got a lot of people who want to read news in this town, man. I ain't going to give them shipping news. I'm going to give them murders, and I'm going to give them suicides. And that's what they started printing for a penny. They were called penny sheets. And that became news. Well, I don't know, but I know one thing. It changes, and it's now no longer just information, and now it's a product. We have better news than they do. We have this news, and they only have that news. Look what our news is. We're Fox News. Well, what is that? It's fair and balanced. Oh, and this is, well, we're CNN, and we don't have our heads in our asses. Oh, and we're MSNBC, and we're jive ass. Great. See, so it's no longer really news, folks. It's colored by a lot of editorializing, so long as you know that. So long as you know that, then you can be your own news editor. Now, here's something that I don't know whether it's colored by editorializing or the time that we have left. It's the most bizarre story I've ever read. Singer Mindy McCready, she and her son Xander are in custody after police discovered the mother and child hiding in a cupboard or something, or in a closet. Officials from the Florida Department of Children and Family said the boy is safe. The agency's working to bring him to Arkansas. The development is the latest in a four-day saga that began when McCready and her son vanished after a visit at her father's. She refused to return Xander to the care of her mother despite predetermined custody. "I'm doing all this to protect Xander, not to stay out of trouble," McCready wrote in an email to the Associated Press. McCready said Xander was in her Tennessee home when she spoke out on Thursday, but said she couldn't travel. Anyway, she's in jail. So's her son. What a weird ass. God.
Poor kids.
But there you got it, man. Poor kids is right. Freaking nuts. World famous Phil Henry Show, produced by Phil Henry, Dan Northcraft, and Fred Scotty. We will see you guys tonight for our KFI show, which is right here on philhenryshow.com, on our website, philhenryshow.com, and Phil TV in HD. See you Monday night for the national show. And don't forget, this is the world famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry.